আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু। আলহামদুলিল্লাহি ওয়াহদাহু ওয়াস সালাতু ওয়াস সালামু আলা মান লা নাবিয়্যা বা'দাহু। আলহামদুলিল্লাহি ওয়াহদাহু ওয়াস সালাতু ওয়াস সালামু আলা মান লা নাবিয়্যা বা'দাহু। ওয়া নাশহাদু আল লা ইলাহা ইল্লাল্লাহু ওয়াহদাহু লা শারীকা লাহু। ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen, our receivers, in this masjid every Juma practically you have some new speaker, so whatever I'm going to discuss, it's not going to be anything new. I personally have discussed this hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam many times in different places, because that is the purpose and the objective of the revelation of the Quran Sharif and the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that we should listen to it repeatedly and implement it in our lives. So if we haven't as yet implemented those teachings in our lives, then there is a need to listen to it even more. So there is no question of a new deen or a new religion. We have to discuss the same ayat of the Quran Sharif and the same teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this hadith sharif, which after making dua just now a little while before this, there were five or six topics that were coming to mind, which I had discussed a little earlier in the masjid at Masjid Noor, and this is what came to mind that discussed this hadith sharif. So therefore I'm not going to go into very much detail, we don't have the time. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reports that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said that my Rabb gave me specific instruction or ordered me 9 things. I'm not going to give you the correct or this exact translation or any detailed aspects, but just to give you the import of the hadith sharif, the meaning of the hadith sharif, the gist of the hadith sharif, the different things that he mentions. So he said, first of all, that my Rabb, my beloved Allah, my sustainer, he ordered me. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that he has been instructed, specially ordered with regards to 9 things. Now when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that, then how much more important it is for the ummah to listen. Because those things that Allah Ta'ala is going to order Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which we are going to just discuss now, none of those things Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not practice upon. Each and everything he practiced upon. So it was for the ummah at large, and especially people like us who have some kind of taalluq and some kind of connection with the masajid, madaris, khanqas, tabligh, and all other deeni organizations and associations. And like that, all of us are Muslims, so it is for each and every one of us. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that my beloved Allah, my Rabb, he ordered me 9 things, and the first thing he mentions that I must fear that Allah in my private life and in public life, in secrecy and in public, I must fear Allah. Now was there any doubt, any question of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam not having the khawf of Allah Ta'ala or not having the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala? Because in reality, whatever sins we give up, it should not be just out of the fear of Allah Ta'ala's punishment and azab. Allah Ta'ala hasn't created us so that He may punish us. There is a misunderstanding that we feel that Allah Ta'ala created Jahannam and He wants to just put everybody into the hellfire. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if that was His maqsad and objective, then why must He reveal the Quran Sharif? Why must He send 124,000 Nabis? Why must He send Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why must He give us so much of opportunities of tawbah and istighfar? Why must He create so many different kinds of ibadat so that we may get forgiveness of sins? Why are we promised forgiveness of sins on zikrullah, on charities, on hajj, on umrahs, on on caring for the poor, the needy, the destitute, the orphan. So many avenues Allah Ta'ala opened for us so that we may get forgiveness of our sins and enter into Jannat. So Allah Ta'ala hasn't created us so that He puts us into Jahannam. That is not the purpose of creation. But if a person just wants to go himself, then what can you do? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that must fear Allah Ta'ala in public and in secrecy in private. Just this first part of this Hadith Sharif, just this first part, that's the first point. If only we have to take into our hearts and make amal, our whole lifestyles will change, our homes will become very, very happy and pleasant. Our relationship with our wives, our family members, our clients, our customers, and with our neighbors, and everything will come right. Everything will come right if we just take this first point. That we must have this khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in our private life in public. Now all the ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whatever the laws of Sharia are, if you have to expand on the laws of Sharia, whether it's namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, ibadat, dealings, relationships, etiquettes, morals, and whatever you think of, the whole of Sharia, whatever is in the Quran Sharif and in the Hadith Sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they will all be related to only two aspects: a person's private life or public life. What else there is? Can a person have a third kind of a life? There will be only two lives that he will lead. One is in public and one is in private. The rest of it will fall within it. The rest of it will all fall within it. If he's eating in the home, or the person is eating outside, or the person is walking somewhere, or the person is talking to someone, or is dealing with someone, or the person is studying, or whatever he may be doing, it will be either in private or it will be in public. Now when it comes to our public image, then there sometimes we are a bit cautious, we are a bit careful, we are a bit afraid of criticism, we are afraid of people ridiculing us, or people catching us out in committing those sins openly. And it is the age of cameras and clickings, so therefore the fear is that we could be clicked if we are in the queue of the cinema, or if we are in the rave club, or we are in the disco. And this is what I keep on warning those people who think that they are not being spotted and not being cited. There are so many people who got caught out because they were clicked and they were photographed somewhere where it was inappropriate for them to be there, and they were there with all their outward image of piety and taqwa, but they were caught out. So therefore we must not fear these cameras. These cameras, they can be faulty. The electricity can fail, or the mechanism can fail, or the company with which we have linked up our cameras, they may have some kind of a problem. We must worry about the gaze and the sight of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That wherever we are, whether we are in the privacy of our homes or we are in the public places, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching. Jo karta hai tu chup ke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. In one majlis, one arif billah, for one whole hour, Hazrat Shaykh Hakim Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatum, for one whole hour, he told the person to go on reading the same couplet, nothing more than that. Jo karta hai tu chup ke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. When you hide and you commit sins, and you think that nobody is watching me, then koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching. And He is the one who can seize any time. He can bring humiliation and disgrace upon the person any time. He can pull the carpet from beneath the person's feet any time. So therefore, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He says that my Rabb, Allah ta'ala, He ordered me 9 things. And the first thing He said that I must fear Allah in public and in private. So as I said, that many a times we are quite careful when it comes to our public life, but when it comes to our private lives, we truly believe that there is nobody watching, then we can do whatever we want to. All those people who have got an outward image of piety, and we deal with cases all the time, it is coming from left, right and center, and from overseas and local and international, everywhere. This is the major complaint. Ask the wives, they will say what my husband is like. Leave what the image is in the masjid. In the masjid we all will face the qibla and we will be very, very obedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But ask those wives who are observing day and night what our dandas are. They will tell us what we are like. So when we are doing those wrong things in the secrecy and privacy of our homes, do we think Allah ta'ala is not watching? I mentioned just last week of a little child, just 6-year-old, wants to molest a 3-year-old girl. And where did he pick it up? He picked it up because his father used to watch late night, or his uncle used to watch late night those porn movies. And this is where the child is picking it up. So do we believe that when we go into the secrecy of our homes or in the privacy of the hotel rooms, then at that time we are not being watched by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that He cannot seize us there and then? People are traveling out to China, they're traveling out to Hong Kong, they're traveling out to America and Japan and all parts of the world because the world has opened up. They leave their wives behind and they travel out. Do they think that they are not being observed by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Cannot He bring any kind of disaster and destruction upon that person's respect and honor? So therefore we should not be so brave and bold in transgressing and in disobeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Mana masiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Mana masiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Janaza abru ka dafn karna ye kaisi himaqat hai. He says, mana masiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. I accept, I agree, I also believe, and with you I agree that there is a little bit of pleasure in haram. A little bit of pleasure, haram pleasure, stolen pleasure. When a person steals, I always give this example, if a person has stolen somebody's Mercedes Benz, or he has stolen his Rolls Royce, or he has stolen a very, very expensive car. Now when he is driving this car, there is some enjoyment. The person is going to enjoy the air conditioning, he's going to enjoy the music inside, he's going to enjoy the seating, he's going to enjoy all the high-tech equipment inside. Now whilst he's enjoying the ride, suddenly he sees half a dozen cars with blue lights behind him, and all with sirens on, and guns blaring. Now where will that enjoyment go after that? For that little while there was enjoyment, but now where will that enjoyment go? Now he may have to suffer for years in prison. So therefore he says, mana masiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. There is just a little while of haram pleasure, stolen pleasure in haram. I always say that in haram, look at the spelling itself. H-A-R-A-A-M. If you have to look at the English spelling, it's H-A-R-A-A-M. There is harm in it too, and there's double A, that means double harm. Anything that is haram, there's double harm in it. Nevertheless, so he says, mana masiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. There is a little bit of haram enjoyment, stolen pleasure. Mujrimana thodi lazzat hai, magar us palane wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. That Allah who blessed us with our sight, that Allah who blessed us with our hearing, with our speech, with our heart, with our liver and lungs, with our hands and feet, everything else, who blessed us with? Did the mothers have any kind of control? Was the mother able to give eyes and ears and nose and everything in the stomach? The mother did not even know what was happening in the stomach. Therefore, in India once there was an inspector of a school and he was an atheist. And he went into the school and he told those Muslim children there that you people are always saying that Allah, Allah, and Allah Ta'ala is listening, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one who has blessed us with our hearing and with our speech and with our sight. So I have lost my sight in one eye. I don't have sight in one eye. Now if your Allah exists, then tell that Allah to restore my sight. Now little children, what are they going to answer? But it was just to confuse them that there is no existence of God. So these little children were baffled. So the teacher said, but why must you ask such kind of a question to these little children? He said, no, you say that Allah exists, so now they must answer. So the Muslim teacher, this was in the time of the British government, and it's a true story. So the Muslim teacher said, all right, I will speak to Allah. So he picked up his head like that, and he moved his lips a little bit, and then he said that I spoke to my Allah. My Allah said, must ask you that who blessed you with your sight? So now this inspector said, well, my mother gave me the sight. So he raised his head again towards the skies as if he's speaking to Allah Ta'ala. And then he told the teacher, well, tell your mother to give the other eye also. If she gave you the first one, then tell her to give you the sight in the other eye. So that Allah who blessed us with our sight, with our hearing, with our speech, with our heart, liver and lungs functioning. Look at each part of the body. The person goes for an operation, 100,000, 200,000, 1 million, 2 million. It's going even further now. Even more than that, just for one part of the body to be replaced. Look at the cost. And that Allah Ta'ala who blessed us with all this, is this justice that we are doing, that we are disobeying that Allah with those very bounties that He blessed us with? If we don't have money to buy a big television, then at that time we cry to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, bless us with barakat in our risk and sustenance. When He blesses with risk and He blesses it with more sustenance, then we take that same money, then go to the discos, to the rave clubs, to the casino, and we buy bigger and bigger screens until our homes become cinemas. Our homes have become cinemas. And the destruction that it is causing to the morals of the children are unreal. It's unreal. Wallah, I'm telling you, this is a masjid. And it is a Jummah day, and I'm on the mimbar here, that this morning I was replying to a letter where the person says that she walked into the room, my mother walked into the room, and my brother just told her that, what have you walked into the room for? She said, no, I came to close the curtains. They said, well, at least put your feet down because you got your shoes on, don't have it on the bed. So he booted the mother, he swore her, he cursed her. And when she afterwards said something, she said, do you want some more now? Do you want some more? Where are they learning this from? Where are they picking up this arrogance from? But we do not want to suppress our nafsani desires. We are the ones who want to enjoy those haram, and then we blame the children for whatever they are doing. So therefore, mana masuyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai, magar us palne wale se kaisi bagawat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Just a little while of pleasure and the person can be in shame and disgrace all his life. How many people, just a little while of pleasure and after that it was disgrace and humiliation all their lives. If they made sincere tawbah, Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving, most merciful. Allah Ta'ala dearly loves forgiveness of the sins of the sinners. That example you must have heard many times, that when the child is taking the first steps, the father opens the arms or the mother opens the arms and say, my beloved child, take the first steps. Don't worry. When the child takes the first step and is about to fall, the mother grabs the child and puts it against her bosom and say, my beloved child, my darling, what beautiful steps you took. And yet we know that there was nothing really that the child did, but tried to take the first step. So if we take the steps towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and ask Allah Ta'ala for His forgiveness and for His mercy and for His kindness and for His generosity, Allah Ta'ala is so loving, that irrespective of how far the person may have gone, Allah Ta'ala is prepared to accept him and accept his tawbah. However, human beings don't forgive. Human beings don't forget. If the person was in the drinking habit, they will tell lifelong he's a drunkard. If the person was in the habit of drugs, lifelong they will say he's a druggie. If he's coming for your daughter, you will say don't give her in marriage because this person you don't know, he can have a lapse anytime. So what is happening? Why must we destroy that respect and that honor that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given to us by virtue of the fact that we are believers in Allah Ta'ala? We have got Iman, we have got Islam, we have got love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then why must we destroy that? Why must we bury the janaza of that respect that Allah Ta'ala has given? One day a young person came running, says, Maulana, please, please, he was hysterical, he was tearing. Maulana, please, please, make dua. He said, what happened, bhai? What is wrong? What is so serious? He says, no, I committed fornication with one Hindu girl, and now the parents have threatened me, they want to shoot me, they are in search of me, if they're going to find me, they're going to destroy me. Now that little while of pleasure, what happened now? Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai, janaza abru ka dafn karna ye kaisi himaqat hai. So these are times in which things are moving extremely fast. There is nothing that you can hold on to anymore. Every day the things are changing. Everything is changing. Look at the governments of the world are changing. Those people that we never ever dreamt of that will come and rise to the positions of presidency, but they have risen to the position of presidency. Somebody is zooming in and somebody is zooming out. A lot of zooming ins and zooming outs also. All these things are happening. At such a time, we don't say that you mustn't eat, you mustn't drink, you mustn't enjoy the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. That is a misunderstanding. The Sahaba-i-Kiram, they laughed, they joked. Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu ta'ala, nobody had more fikr of deen than they had. But read the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam.
There was laughter, there was happiness, there was cheer. But at the same time, when there was concern for deen, at that time there were different people altogether. These Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'in, at times they were so serious, they were crying before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They were in the battlefield, they were in the jihad, and they were doing everything else. But at other times amongst themselves, they are cheerful, they are happy, they are joking. They are enjoying the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with increased shukr over those ni'mats. That is the condition that make use of those ni'mats and those bounties with increased shukr. If the person is going to increase his shukr, then that will be the means of qurb of Allah Ta'ala, closeness of Allah Ta'ala. Because shukr will now bring him closer to Allah Ta'ala. And shukr doesn't mean, shukr my beloved Allah, shukr you gave me so much. And after that he uses that same ni'mat for all the sins. That can't be shukr of Allah Ta'ala. Shukr of every ni'mat is in accordance with that ni'mat. The shukr of the eyes is to see that which is permissible. The shukr of the ears is to listen to only that which is permissible. Shukr of the wealth is to acquire it and use it only in those places that's permissible. Otherwise that won't be shukr. So if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives something, then to make shukr. And if Allah ta'ala snatches away something, then to make sabr. Hundreds of times I have said that there are only two routes that take you to Allah ta'ala. There's no third route, so why should we lose hope in Allah ta'ala? When a person gets sick, when a person has difficulties, some hardships, some problems, then the first thing that they start talking, I wish Allah Ta'ala takes my life away, or I wish I can take my own life. I do not wish to suffer like this in the world anymore. And what is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala doing? Doesn't he have any kind of concern? Nauzubillah, they make kind of statements that just baffle our imagination, that how can a Muslim talk such things about Allah? To complain about one's pain or someone's difficulty or one's hardship, for the purpose of a resolution to that problem, to complain for the purpose of information, that is permissible. If you go to a doctor and the doctor says, what's wrong? He says, no, I'm not allowed to say anything that's wrong with me. I make sabr. So then the doctor will say, why did you come here then? Stay at home. So if you go to the doctor, you're going to complain about whatever pains you got. But complaining of Allah Ta'ala, that why did Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala do this to me and not to anybody else? And Allah Ta'ala, na'uzu billah, is unjust. And Allah Ta'ala has forsaken me. Allah Ta'ala doesn't listen to du'as anymore. How many namazes I made? Mawlana, even the musalla is now torn, but Allah Ta'ala is not accepting my du'as. So is Allah Ta'ala obliged? Is Allah Ta'ala our ghulam? Is Allah Ta'ala our slave that he must listen to us? He will accept the du'a, but when he is going to give us the fruits of that du'a, only Allah Ta'ala knows. Sometimes he'll give us the same thing that he has, that we have asked. Sometimes he'll give us something better than what we are asking. Sometimes Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will remove some big bala and difficulty that was going to come. And sometime Allah ta'ala will store it for the akhirat. But that dua is accepted, so why lose hope? Therefore he say, be kaifi me bhi to humne ek kaif musalsal dekha hai jis haal mein bhi wo rakhte hain us haal ko akmal dekha hai jis haal mein bhi wo rakhte hain us haal ko akmal dekha hai jis raah ko hum tajweez kare us raah ko asqal dekha hai jis raah se wo le jaate hain us raah ko ashal dekha hai. In whichever condition my beloved Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala keeps me, it is the best of all conditions. I will ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyat, for salamati, for good health and for everything. After that, whichever road Allah Ta'ala chooses for me. If he chooses the road of shukr for me, then I will make shukr and get my Allah. And if he chooses the road of sabr, then the person must make sabr and he's got Allah Ta'ala. Inna Allah ma'as sabirin. So in both conditions he's got Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. How beautiful our Allah is. We must create that love for Allah Ta'ala by pondering over the ni'mats and bounties that he has blessed us with. Think right from the head to the bottom, to the toes, and see how much of ni'mat, just this hay. People are spending thousands of dollars just so that some hay may grow on their head if they have gone bald. Then look at all the different technologies that are available and look at the amount of money that is being spent just so that we may get a crop of hay. Did we ever consider this crop of hay as a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala? The language that we speak, did we consider that as a ni'mat that I am speaking, you are understanding? Everything is a ni'mat and a bounty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So therefore when we are going to ponder over that and reflect over that, and look at our benefactor, look at our Allah, look at how kind he has been to us. So then we will create the urge in ourselves to obey that Allah. When we look at the ni'mats and we look at the bounties and when we look at the generosity and kindness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how much of difficulties and trials and hardships he underwent. That Nabi of Allah, for whom Allah Ta'ala could have sent down dastarkhans from Jannah, 3 solid years he is boycotted and ostracized. 3 solid years. People like us would have left him and dispersed. We would have said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are saying that you are the closest to Allah. 3 years you are making dua in this valley here, and the time has come when we have to chew leaves of trees for our survival. When is Allah Ta'ala going to accept that dua? What kind of a Nabi you are? Na'uzu billah, that's what we would have said. But not one companion of his did ever say that. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. 3 solid years ostracized there. Stoned in Taif, his shoes get filled with his Mubarak blood. Stoned in Uhud, he falls down unconscious. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teeth are shattered. The pins of the helmet pierce his jaws. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam bleeds profusely. Now all these things Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went through for whom? Was he committing any kind of sins? It was so that we may get consolation in our time, that if we have to go through some difficulty or some trial and some hardship for the sake of our deen and for the sake of Islam, then we will take lessons from the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu anhu ajma'in and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Uhud ke shaheedo ke khune wafa se, Uhud ke shaheedo ke khune wafa se, sabak le ke paabande dastoor hunga. I will take lessons from the shaheeds of Uhud. That look at 70 of them, they gave their lives and they wrote this, that they wrote their love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with their blood of shahadat. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the true understanding of Islam. It's a beautiful deen. It's a very, very beautiful deen. No extremism of any kind. If we are going on to extremes, that's our problem. It's our problem. We are cooking up new things and then we go on to extremes and then we say Shariat and Islam is difficult. Shariat and Islam is not difficult, it is practical, it is easy. There is no extremism. There is great amount of wisdom in whatever Allah Ta'ala has made, ordered us to do and whatever is asked us to refrain from. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you and give the entire ummah of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the tawfiq of amal. May He remove the hardship, the difficulties, the pain, the suffering and the problems of the ummah and mankind around the globe. May Allah bless entire mankind with hidayat. And make everyone worthy of Jannat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.